Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club.
Tuesday.
And a very happy Tuesday to you.
Yes, a very happy Tuesday.
I'm resisting asking how you are because we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, let's not go there. I'll leave people guessing for the next 15 seconds or so as to what I'm going to say is the answer to how I am.
yes, indeed. Yeah, well, I'm well.
Yeah, that's good.
At the moment.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had a nice day today.
Oh, good. Great.
Got a bit hashtag obsessed with hashtag Sue Gray.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we shouldn't talk about politics on this podcast, but it is... I'd just like to say that her stern headmistress tone is very appropriate and I admire it.
It's good, isn't it? It's good. It's good as well that she hasn't, like... She hasn't done what people were scared she was going to do, which was like go soft on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's quite good to see that she's not taking any prisoners.
For our international listeners, this is the controversy surrounding our party animal prime minister. A report has come out on just how many parties he had. 16.
During lockdown, that is, guys. During lockdown. Parties in general are expected. And,
yeah, but you know. I don't think I've ever had 16 parties in 20 months. Like, do you know what I mean? That's a lot of parties.
Yeah, but when you're, you know, the elite, the political elite, you have many, many parties, regardless of the rules that you've put in place yourself. You still have parties, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I would like to know the Downing Street party playlist.
Yes.
Like, what's on there?
What songs are they listening to?
I would like to know what cake he was ambushed by.
Yeah. Are you thinking Vicky Sponge?
Vicky Sponge? No, it's got to be Colin.
Colin the Caterpillar?
Yeah. Don't you think? Again, British institution, if you haven't heard of it,
yeah,
Google
look
it.
Up a Colin the Caterpillar cake if you don't know what one is. That is a classic. Yeah, I'd like to think it was Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've got so many questions. What kind of alcohol was in that suitcase?
Oh, surely it's wine, isn't it?
Yeah, but like, what kind of wine?
Yeah, what are they? Yeah, it's good, good. Yeah. I mean, are they going... cheap because they're just like quick we haven't got time to pick the best ones, just grab any bottles, stick them in the suitcase, don't let anyone see you.
But they are Tories,
they know their wine, I'm sure.
Yeah. hard to say.
I know McLaren from the cabinet.
Shall we talk about the episode?
Let's.
Okay, so this is you know what I was saying last week about like the fact that we get really good, really interesting, kind of off the beaten track stories.
Yeah.
Well, here's another really cool one. We interviewed Leanne Nicol.
Yeah.
She is one of my new friends.
Yes.
Yes. My Whitstable friends.
Yeah.
And but she's also a writer. And I got talking to her And I was, she was like, oh, I'm just writing a book. And I was like, oh, I've written a book. And we had a chat about
the friendship was sealed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just the most dickish thing.
Yeah.
But her book is about the postnatal body. So, what, you know, body after pregnancy. Mm. We're not going to talk about that, obviously. What we are going to talk about is sections of her book cover the body after miscarriage. Mm. And I think this is so interesting because it's just something that is not talked about.
Yeah, man.
Like, I wrote the pregnancy loss chapter in the book. Oh, by the way, did you know that we've written a book?
I don't know if we've mentioned it, guys. Once
Sorry.
Again. Link in the bio.
Yeah.
Please pre-order from all good bookshops now.
Obviously, I haven't had a pregnancy loss like that. And just talking to people, a lot of them said, oh, yeah, so my doctor just said it's going to be like a heavy period and that I should just go away and wait for it.
That is definitely what a lot of people hear.
Yeah, it's I like feel like in many cases, not all, it's not like a heavy period. It's like significantly more than that. And so Leanne has talked to me about that and explained, you know, what can happen. Kind of, we talked a bit about like why we kind of should be talking about this more. We kind of discuss why it's not discussed that much. Because I, you know, obviously the grief surrounding pregnancy loss is widely covered because it's an awful, awful experience and probably not as widely covered as it should be, but nonetheless quite widely covered.
Yeah.
In comparison to the physical aspects of it. And it's maybe it's just because we're quite squeamish.
Yeah, and, you know, people don't like to talk about it. It's one of those taboos, isn't it? Mm. It's, you know, and it's so common, so you obviously just suck it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it is really interesting. I think, you know, by all accounts, everyone that I've spoken to who's had a miscarriage, it was, you know, it was a rough ride. And I guess just a bit of understanding, and if you've been through it, a bit of kind of empathy is important. So
absolutely.
I'm glad you had this conversation. I was not part of this conversation.
You weren't.
Not because I am not part of the Whitstable Massive, which is true, I'm not. But it was drawing on work day and I was hard.
Yeah.
So I couldn't join, sadly.
Obviously a work day that I wasn't working if any of my bosses.
Yeah, by the way, any one of Emma's colleagues.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's the only thing was that there was some like weird clicking noises on the line at one point.
Oh.
But they went away, so that was fine.
Was your boss tapping the line?
Yeah, maybe. Are you working?
That doesn't sound like your kind of work for this.
It's a day on which I was not working. I repeat that. Also, at one point, I talk about the peripatetic nervous system, which is something I made up. It's not a thing. But what I meant was the sympathetic nervous system. So can you just disregard me saying that?
Stop making up medical terms, Emma.
I know. And
banding them around.
I want you all to admire how smug I sound when I say it.
Yeah, with all the confidence of private school, just banding it around. There's a word I've made up.
Like I really know my shit. But I don't at all. And I just need to shut up and stop pretending I do.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, so there's that. And that's kind of it for the episode really today.
It is. Yeah, still no sign of precedent.
No.
I think we're just going to give up on that for this series and we'll get him back next series.
Yeah, we'll try.
Yeah, we'll bring him up and get someone else.
He's gone AWOL. Obviously buy our book, but I'm not going to do the hard sell again.
So, I do have book news.
Oh, yeah.
I have interesting book news.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think we were under the impression that it was unavailable in... We kind of just thought it was the UK. We were kind of worried about saying you could get it anywhere else because it was proving difficult. You can get it in Europe. You absolutely can.
Ah.
You also, apparently, can get it in the US if you go to Amazon UK.
Oh my god.
And put your if you follow the link in our Instagram bio to the book, it'll take you to the UK version of Amazon, and then apparently if you do some, you know, just stick your details in, maybe you can get it to you.
Wow.
From here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the hot news.
But I would have thought postage would be quite extreme.
Postage might be extreme. I don't know how it works. Just check it out.
Okay.
So yeah, if you're in the US and you want to grab it.
All right.
investigate. Yeah, I know.
I love it.
Exciting times.
Yeah, so do that. Or you can also follow us on Instagram.
At Big Fat Negative.
Or Twitter.
At Big Fat Negative.
Or you can email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
Please enjoy the episode. Okay, I'm going to ask you now.
Okay.
How are you?
So, well, I got a big fat positive today.
Oh my God, and not the good kind.
Yeah, not the one that I always wanted.
You've got the COVID.
I got the COVID positive.
May, yeah, how are you feeling?
Two little lines. Oh, do you know what? I am feeling all right.
Okay.
I was actually more sick last week, and I was convinced I had COVID last week. I had a really bad cough and a sore throat, and I was like, if this isn't COVID, what is? But then all the lateral flows and a PCR said I wasn't, so I was like, okay, fine. Right. Got over it, was feeling better on Saturday, Sunday, feeling good, you know, everything fine. Woke up this morning with a head cold. Mm. Mr. Gabby, a little bit worse than me. And so he was like, I'm going to do a COVID test. And I was like, okay, whatever. Overkill. Yeah, turns out we've both got it. And so, right. Yeah, that's been just a bit of a pisser. I've got like brain fog because I was kind of a little bit, that was the kind of main symptom that everyone's kind of talking about, I think, that I was like, oh yeah, maybe that is that.
Yeah, with the Omicron.
The Omicrons, yeah.
The Omnicon.
Omnicon.
It's a little media joke for you.
Yeah. So it was just like one of those things. I really didn't think it was going to be positive. And then, yeah, obviously you get that triggering moment where you're doing the lateral flow and you're like, oh God, this is just taking me right back to doing tests all the time.
Is there anything more triggering than a lateral flow test?
I mean, I have to be honest with you. I was quite excited that a second line had come up. And I do think that is a hangover from my TTC years. Like, I was like, oh.
Did you get that moment of, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think I kind of did. And then obviously, like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do?
Yeah. So obviously we spent Saturday together.
We did. Which I'm now sorry about.
No, it's okay. But don't worry about it.
You know, I didn't have any symptoms then.
No. Yeah, I might not have been contagious.
Who knows?
I do, as I texted you earlier, have a secret view that I might have amazing, like, immune genes where I don't get COVID. And I think it's based on a TV show called Last Man on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's, like, some kind of sickness that kills all the people on Earth except for, like, a handful of... like a ragtag bunch.
Oh, wow. And you think you're part of the ragtag bunch?
And I think I might, because I always assumed that in like a disaster movie, I'm like the member of the gang that's killed off first that you don't really get to know.
Right, yeah.
I always assumed that. And then as
the pretty blonde one.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah,
gets murked.
Absolutely. And then as the pandemic has gone on, I've been like, oh.
Wait,
okay, so maybe I'm part of the core gang that dies, like, in the middle of the film. No, still going on, still haven't got the COVID. So now I'm like, maybe I'm the one that discovers they've got secret superpowers and survives to the end.
I was saying you're like Bruce Willis in Unbreakable, if anyone remembers that film.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hope that that's the case, dude.
Yeah, so do I, but basically now is when I discover whether that's...
Oh, yeah, because you've been in contact with me.
Yeah, because we might lick each other's faces.
Have you done
a
lateral flow today?
No, not me.
Well,
yeah, but I wouldn't be, because it's Monday today, so I don't think I'd...
No, you probably wouldn't get symptoms yet.
No.
Well,
excited, though.
Hey, let's find out, and we can report back next week, guys, whether Emma has special powers or not.
And if I
don't... What are you going to do with your special powers if you are part of this immune supergroup?
Probably, like, go to a nightclub. Probably travel on public transport without a mask.
I'm just going to go around like flouting the rules.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're rules anymore.
No, I suppose they're not, are they?
No. Probably go and just stand in the middle of a crowd and shout.
Yeah. Lick people.
Yes. Lick some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lick some attractive people.
Yeah. But mate, have you got all the drugs in? Like, are you kind of stocked up?
Not really. I mean, I haven't really needed any drugs today. I haven't really felt that bad other than the aforementioned brain fog. My husband, however, Mr. Gabby, I think he's got man COVID because he's sicker than me. Apparently.
A new variant.
It's a new variant, which leads to excessive amounts of and more time in bed sleeping. So yeah.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so sorry.
We've got some cold and flu tablets. I think we'll make it through. I think we'll be all right. And we found a slot for the Waitrose online delivery, which we've never been able to get before. And I was always panicking. I was like, what if it happens and we can't get an online delivery? And it happened.
You'd have to go to Tesco. Can I just say, as somebody who does not shop at Waitrose...
By the way,
not as fancy as you at Ramsgate.
The only reason I shop at Waitrose is because it is the big shop in the middle of Ramsgate. Like that's the one in the centre of town. So that's the one I go to. I have no problem with Tesco or Sainsbury's, which is, to be fair, the kind of one I go to second because it's a little bit further away. So
Defy Money Coots was tweeting over like just before Christmas, I think she got COVID, and she said, "Have I just found out in the most middle class way imaginable?" And it's because she ate some hummus and she couldn't taste it.
Oh my God.
And I feel like you're doing COVID in a very middle class way.
I am doing it in a very middle class way, which is not intentional. It's not intentional. Do you know what? The first lockdown, right? Because when everyone was like really afraid to go outside, we couldn't get any online delivery slots. And the only one I could get, which my stepmom managed to find for me, was Iceland. And through this having to go to Iceland, which I don't really go to on the regs, mm-hmm. I discovered what's his name's frozen pizzas. Oh my God, what's his name? You know the Italian chef from This Morning? Gino Di Campo.
Gino Di Campo.
Guys, this is a public service announcement. Okay. Gino Di Campo does cook at home pizzas and they are fucking great.
Okay, noted.
That's maybe a reason to go to Iceland, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe you need to be going to Iceland, not Waitrose, just a suggestion.
Oh, look, you know, it's just down road. It's where we go now.
I just wanted to, like, going back to our discussion of how triggering COVID tests are, somebody messaged me earlier saying so I know it as line eyes. When you've been staring at a pregnancy test for too long, your eyes go weird and you see another line.
Yeah.
They said they were having that with the pregnancy test on the cover of our book. And they were like convinced that there was a shadow of a line on there.
Jesus Christ.
And that made me laugh.
That would have been quite funny if we did like a magic eye effect on the cover.
Oh my God, how awful.
I know.
It does just do the weirdest things. It like brings up odd emotions.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And like I do find myself wanting to see a second line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very guys, if you've had this kind of experience, if you've got any way of like recalibrating your brain, that would be really nice to know how you do that. Because I don't want a second line on a COVID test.
No.
No.
But, you know, you get one and you're like, little moment of joy that you shouldn't have. That's quite a nice bonus.
Yeah, so it's quite much.
It's like a silver lining in the COVID cloud. It's like, oh, for like a brief second, I was delighted to get a second line. So, hey.
Well, mate, I'm so sorry that you've got this.
Hey, no
stuck
problems.
Indoors for Thanks. Minimum 5 days.
Minimum 5 days, yeah. Mm. Here we go.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, unless, I don't know, unless I take a turn for the worse tomorrow, I feel okay.
Okay.
I mean, that's great. You know, largely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, right. Guys. If you could all send me your well wishes, though, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, and to anyone else that's got COVID at the moment, shout out. We're going to get through it.
Okay. Well, have fun with that.
Thanks, mate.
Over to Leanne.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's a beautiful day outside and the house is quiet.
So let's just go straight into it. Can you, and I'm going to use the embarrassing American accent, which has become increasingly embarrassing after five seasons, can you tell us about your journey?
Sure. So I was incredibly lucky and blessed to fall pregnant very quickly with my first son, and that was in 2014, and I had him in 2015. I didn't have a very good postpartum experience, which led me on to some campaigning work and some writing.
Yeah.
And then my husband and I wanted more children. And that's when we hit some pretty significant stumbling blocks.
Right.
I suffered with recurrent miscarriage and had three miscarriages, all very different between my two sons, before welcoming my second son in 2020, 2 weeks before lockdown.
Oh, lovely. Great timing there.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was not the postpartum that I had planned.
I guess if you've had a hard time the first time and then you get hit with lockdown.
Yeah, and I'd planned so well for how it's going to go second time around and done everything that I talk about in my book. Everything changed, as a lot of people, you yourself will know.
Absolutely. So and now you have you've written a book, and I just think it's the most fascinating subject. You're talking about the postpartum body, right?
Yeah.
But the stuff, like when you and I first spoke, the stuff that really struck me that we just never talk about is what happens after you've had a pregnancy loss. And it was funny because when I was writing my book, that was the one thing. I had no idea what happens. Like, I haven't lost a pregnancy myself, therefore I had no idea what happens to you physically. And I feel like we generally tend to focus on the psychology when it comes to pregnancy loss, like the grief, which is so important. But we don't talk a lot about our bodies. Why is that?
I think there's a lot of factors that play into it. I think the first one, like you said, the grief is so overwhelming. And I mean, it is the most seismic loss at any point in your pregnancy. And maybe particularly if you have struggled in advance, it's catastrophic for you.
Yeah.
So that can dwarf everything. And actually, a lot of people that I speak to, have spoken to, can't remember how their body was afterwards. They can't remember any physical complaints or what their physical recovery was like. But they can really vividly remember the emotional toll, and that makes total sense. But then the other thing is, your postpartum body in general is completely disregarded unless it's about getting back into your pre-pregnancy genes.
Back into your size 10s.
Yeah, which I absolutely despise. And I think I've said quite a lot in over the last few years, there is a really casual disregard for women's bodies after pregnancy. And that is even more so after a loss, because nobody is thinking about that. And one of the women I spoke to in the book said, you know, it is hard enough recovering from having a baby when you have the baby in your arms, but when you don't, like, it just makes it so much harder. So that's something I wanted to, I wasn't sure actually whether to include it in the book, because people, especially if they're reading the book when they're pregnant, it's not something they want to think about, and I completely get it. But then I didn't want to be one of those people who ignored it either, because you have still got a postpartum body, because you have been pregnant and all those changes have happened. And, you know, if you're much later on when you experience a loss, then, you know, the physicality can be huge. So I think it is really important to recognize that and honor that, and also start a conversation about how we're going to change things for women so that they are better protected and nurtured and helped to heal.
Yeah, massively. And how much of the fact that we don't talk about it that much is to do with shame?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you, for speaking from personal experience, you do feel shame after a loss, which I can't necessarily tell you why, but you feel let down by your body. You feel disconnected from your body a lot of the time. There's the secrecy and stigma, which go hand in hand with shame. You know, once I'd had my first miscarriage, friends I knew told me they'd had a miscarriage, and I knew nothing about that. Nobody had ever said it. So I was always very open about it. And so it came as a bit of a shock when close friends said, oh, I also had a miscarriage. And that just, and then we absolutely don't talk about our bodies afterwards. And I don't know if I have ever told anybody what happened physically in my first miscarriage. Nobody's ever asked me. And I was thinking about this the other day, and we talk about birth stories. It's really important for people to talk about their births, whether they're traumatic or not. It's really important to for people to bear witness to that. Nobody actually bears witness to what happens in miscarriage. And so you keep it to yourself. And then the physical recovery, there is a lot of shame that you want to cover up. You don't want people to ask if you're pregnant, which they do, which happened to me, which is totally shit. And so you kind of fold in on yourself, I think. And maybe that prevents people from asking you, because you, like, your body language probably is very protective of your body at that point. So maybe people don't feel it's right to ask.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's something to do with how society is set up. It's not, like, seen as massively polite to be like, so how is your womb at the moment? Like, do you know what I mean? How much postpartum bleeding have you had after your loss?
And some people might really not like that kind of question. I think that I wanted to tell people about the physicality of it, because I was shocked by my first miscarriage. It was very... It was pretty brutal on my body, and I did want to talk about it, but I don't think anybody ever asked me. But I do understand at the same time why you wouldn't. But I'm potentially a bit different to, you know, those friends I was talking about who didn't even mention their miscarriage. I was somebody who wanted to talk about it, but I recognise that's not going to be the case for a lot of people.
I think you and I are probably quite similar. In that respect, we're life's talkers. I mean, you know, you talked there about your first loss a little bit. It was a miscarriage, right? Can you, do you feel able to kind of talk about what you went through physically during that?
Yeah, absolutely. I started spotting and texted my sister, who'd had lots of kids. It's like, is this normal? And she said, yeah, it can be. obviously the pregnancy units are closed at the weekend, which is shit.
It always happens at the weekend.
It's shit and should not be the case. I'm very angry about that. But anyway, so I couldn't go. So I had to spend the weekend thinking, oh, is everything okay? And then when we went to the EPC, APU rather, I knew, like, there was fluid coming out as well as a little bit of blood. And I was like, that fluid smells a bit different.
Okay.
And I think that's amniotic fluid. So even before I went in, I kind of knew, I think. So I went in, and as people who've been through this know, you have a sort of a probe put up your vagina, which is just excruciating, actually, because you're so tense and it's horrible. It's just a horrible, horrible experience. And you're just staring at the ceiling or whatever it is that you can look at.
It's funny because obviously in infertility, we're very familiar with that. We call her
probe
Wanda. And we'll have a date with Wanda. Or we call it dildo cam.
Oh,
man. I loved your little tip about breathing.
Yeah. So so post miscarriage, you might have that the probe thing again to check that your womb is clear. And you will find that your body's really tense. You're probably clenching your jaw. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good idea. Because it makes it, I know this is a small thing, but small things help.
Yeah, they do.
Clenching your jaw, and you think breathing out is going to relax you, but actually an in-breath helps release the pelvic floor muscles. So if you are breathing, well, don't concentrate on it too much, but if you're breathing in and your jaw is relaxed, then it should be easier to let go of the probe, because you just want it out anyway. So that is a little tip which I hope might help somebody.
Love it. So you're in hospital, you're having this scan.
Yeah, and then they said the words that nobody wants to hear, which is there is no heartbeat. Uh-huh. And I was I think I was a few days off from my 12-week scan at that point. And obviously I was racked with grief, and the lovely lady gave me a leaflet from the Miscarriage Association and told me to go home and just let it happen naturally. She said that my body had been holding on to the baby, and it was time to let go. So I went home, I texted a few people, and then I waited for it to happen. And that night my husband lay with me, and I had cramping, which was very reminiscent of labour. Obviously I'd already had my first son, and I wasn't expecting what happened at all.
And how many weeks were you at this point?
I was almost 12 weeks. Okay. And I had this cramping, which was similar to labour pains. And then I was passing a lot of blood, and then I passed what I assume is the sac, because it felt very different. And then I was back in bed and I was bleeding, and I thought, it's over, that's done. And it was horrible, but it's done. But it wasn't. And I was bleeding heavily and heavily the next day. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. So I phoned the Miscarriage Association, and soaking through more than one pad an hour is not normal. Okay. So they had me call an ambulance, and I was put in the ambulance to hospital, where I passed out. The experience in hospital, I don't know if you want to know about that, but it was awful. It was absolutely awful. And I did later make a complaint about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was wheeled into the middle of a very busy A&E. I'm not NHS bashing.
We have this on this podcast all the time, is you had a bad experience, but you still love the NHS.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, they are under-resourced and under-trained on things like this.
Yeah, especially maternity stuff.
Yeah. So I was wheeled into the middle of A&E after I'd been in... I think it was resus it would have been, just right next to the main desk, and also next to a trolley full of bin bags, and I was hiding in my jumper, and I remember a nurse giving me a really funny look, but I was I was so sad. Yeah. And I didn't want people looking at me.
Uh-huh.
I was losing or had lost my baby, and I was in a brightly lit room full of people staring at me. Mm-hmm. And why was I crying? I was bleeding through onto the bed, and I was starving, hungry, I hadn't had anything to eat. A beautiful, lovely nurse called Ruth got me a sandwich and helped me into some clean pads and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I was in NNE. I'd lost a lot of blood, later on, this went on and on. You know, I was eventually put into a side room, and things happened that were pretty awful. People were not kind. I had a nurse throw some pads at me because she thought I should have brought my own, and refusing to put my bed down, even though I was going to pass out again because of the blood loss, and people not listening to me. So I was on a commode, I was passing clots, I was vomiting, I had a fever. It was so physical, and this was not what I expected from miscarriage.
No.
I felt very poorly. I had my husband and the nurse were cutting my clothes off me at one point to try and get my temperature. I can't really recall. I think they must have thought sepsis or something. No. Eventually, early hours of the morning, I saw an obstetrician gynecologist who gave me the most excruciating cervical examination I've ever had. Right. And I've had quite a few. It was brutal. And then I was discharged to go home. But I'd lost what they hadn't monitored my blood loss. And so I was incredibly weak. And I needed to go back in. I was in and out of A&E, basically. And I was put on a drip.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an incredibly, it was a real physical assault. And this is why I do think it's important that people talk about this, because I had no idea that a miscarriage, like, you know, in the first trimester could be like that.
Yeah.
And I was incredibly weak for weeks afterwards. I had lost a lot of blood. I think I was borderline for transfusion. I then, once I'd been back in hospital a few times, I had to then have what they were calling then an ERPC, which is, they've changed the terminology now, but so I had to have that as well.
And that is?
That's the something for retained products. Of retained products, yeah, of conception, which which is not okay to call, but they've changed it because I've had another one, lucky old me, and they call it surgical management of miscarriage now, I believe. Which is a bit better.
a bit.
So all of that happened, and then the recovery was tough.
The thing that really struck me when I was researching this originally, and that came through in your writing massively, is how much people are surprised by things like the fatigue, and you talked about the fatigue a little bit. You go through the same hormone crash that you would after birth. You have insomnia. In some cases, people lactate.
Yeah.
Are those the kind of, you know, what kind of things did you go through?
It was very intense fatigue, and the repercussions of the blood loss meant I couldn't actually sit up.
Mm-hmm.
For a while without my head crashing. I had very low blood pressure. I was anemic. My iron levels were really low. And obviously, I mean, I've written in the book, it's like a Molotov cocktail,
mm-hmm,
your hormones when you're pregnant, and they rise so rapidly. And then after birth or a miscarriage or a late term loss, those hormone levels plummet, and that has a massive effect on you. Like emotionally, your hormones affect you, but also with your body as well, with the disappearance of some of the pregnancy symptoms that you had before, which in itself can be quite traumatic. When you lose the tender breasts and the nausea, that can feel really traumatic to people as well. But the fatigue was awful for weeks. I was very poorly, and I almost felt like I couldn't be, like I shouldn't be, like, because nobody had explained or nobody had said to me, you're going to be poorly for a while. And there's no, you know, I don't know what the bereavement leave is like now, but my husband's work certainly wouldn't have thought, oh, she needs some help. He needs to be off with her.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they have, you know, they had their miscarriages at work. They, you know, they carry on. It wasn't like that for me. It wouldn't have been possible. I couldn't sit up. So it was a real big, it was a big chunk of time I needed to heal after that. But I felt like I was a weak person for not, again, like springing back, I suppose. Like I'm not, I felt like I wasn't supposed to be feeling like this physically. I knew I was allowed to grieve.
Yeah.
And feel very sad, but I didn't kind of give myself permission. Like after I'd been in hospital the first time, no, after the night, sorry, that I had the first lot of bleeding, the next day I was making my, you know, I was making the family a goulash.
Oh my God. That's high intensity food making.
Yeah, yeah.
cooking is the word I was looking for. Yeah. Food making. It's just, it's insane actually, because I guess we, again, you know, celebrity culture, we look at women who give birth and bounce back. And, you know, because more people are talking about miscarriage and pregnancy loss, we look at them bouncing back. And I think one of the most criminal things is that quite often somebody who's about to go through a loss, like you, who, you know, finds out that perhaps their baby has died in the womb and then they are sent home to wait for it, often they're told it's going to be like a heavy period.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had heavy periods. I've never had anything that sounds like what you describe.
Well, no, it was such a shock. And some miscarriages are, some pregnancy losses are like heavy periods. I've had three and they've all been very different. And the third one was earlier on. It was about 6 weeks. And it was much more like a heavy period.
Yeah.
But that narrative that is what miscarriage is not helpful. It's really not helpful because it doesn't prepare you for what's going to happen. And I think there's a paper out last year actually about language we use when it comes to pregnancy loss to help the parents. And I think they are changing it for later on. From using the word miscarriage to baby loss, so that women are more prepared that they are going to go through a birth.
Yeah.
And then they may be able to better prepare for a recovery as well. I think that's helpful.
The terms pregnancy loss, baby loss, miscarriage, they're quite passive, aren't they? Like, oops, I lost it. Like, oops, I miscarried it. Like, I dropped it. It's not, it doesn't kind of prepare you for the physical effort.
That's
the active part.
That's so true. And I don't have answers for this. I hate the term miscarriage. I think it is misogynistic. Mm-hmm. I think it places everything on the woman as having done something, as having carried incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
So it really pisses me off. But I read, rather, I listened to Julia
Bueno.
Talking about how, yeah, with pregnancy losses, it's again, it's like, oh, I've lost something. and I don't have the answer for what it should be called. But yeah, the way that we think of it is something passive and something not hard, like it just passes.
Yeah,
it just goes. That's not my experience. And it's not many women's experience, particularly like later on. Kind of second trimester and even late term losses.
Yeah,
and so physical.
You know, we've talked about things just now, like the hormone crash. And if you've been through a labour before, you'll be familiar with what happens 5 days after you give birth, which is all your hormones just go, they drop. So you've got really high progesterone, estrogen, HCG, and they all just crash. And you have a day of crying a lot and being scared that you're going to kill your baby. But if you haven't been through that before, no one's told you about that. So you experienced this crash. You talked about having hair loss.
Yeah.
It's all stuff that's associated with having a baby, giving birth to a live baby, not this.
Yeah, the hair loss was just like an added kind of insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even noticed that I'd stopped shedding. I'm quite a shedder normally, but I hadn't noticed that I stopped shedding. And then, yeah, when that started to get, I mean, that could have also been stress and low iron levels, but it is also likely that I'd started with the whole kind of retaining more hair that happens in pregnancy. But the hormonal, the thing that you just mentioned about the hormonal crash, so after you have had a baby, then you have that crash, but you also have the upsurge in oxytocin, which kind of helps balance things out. You're not going to have that if you have experienced this trauma and loss. So it's even worse for you hormonally, because there's nothing there to provide a bit of balance for you, which is why one of them, I thought it's really interesting what one of the mothers, bereaved mothers who I spoke to, said about stroking and holding the child that she had.
Yeah.
Or like there's a charity called Teddies that provide teddy bears for bereaved parents. And I think you need that. You need touch. You need nurturing touch. Yeah. And I think that is really critical in that time when your hormone levels have plummeted and you're suffering with such grief. I think it's hard. You may not feel like you want to be touched, especially your abdomen, which I mentioned quite a bit in the book about how that feels. But I really think that you need it, because you need that oxytocin that touch produces.
It's interesting because you mentioned something called empty arm syndrome.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of that before, but I do, and I haven't had a loss in the same sense, but I do remember after my first embryo transfer failed, feeling this profoundly physical need for something small and squirming in my lap.
And I think that makes total sense.
And we got a cat in the end, and she's a real bitch.
They always are, aren't they?
She is not a good replacement. But it was that need, like desperate need to be holding something.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that I didn't know that had kind of been medicalized.
Yeah. I hadn't heard the term before, but it makes complete sense. I mean, you don't just experience grief in your mind and through tears. You experience, it's a whole body thing. And
yeah,
I think that is particular to losing, you know, being a woman, losing a child, that there is a physical ache. It's like, it's not in your head. It's real.
It really is. And you talk about, I really like your kind of bullet pointed list of like, these are the physical things that you will experience during grief.
Yeah, I stole that. Not mine. I stole that from Marie Curie, but I found it really helpful because grief isn't, it's not just something that, you know, it is a whole body experience. And it's akin to being unwell. You have physical symptoms of grief. So, yeah, I found that really helpful because I think people do disconnect from their bodies at this time, and I know because I did it as well. But I think I really want people to try to connect and try to allow themselves to be nurtured, because I think it helps. I think I've put in the book that it helps carry you, your body's going to carry you through the grief. You don't want to be getting more unwell. That's not going to help. It's going to make things worse. If you have given birth, there are things that, you know, that you will have to deal with so that you don't get infections, and so that you don't, and because anything like that is just going to compound how awful you feel. Mm-hmm. But when I'm saying this, I'm saying, oh, the woman should, you know, actually, no, I'm going to retract that. Society needs to be there, and your community needs to be there to scoop you up and provide that nurture for your body, for your health. There's not, nobody can take away your pain, but they can look after you. They can make sure you're nourished, that you're hydrated. A lot of people who are going through grief are not going to put those things
you mentioned know. That I thought that was really interesting, dehydration.
Yeah, apparently it's very common, and I can totally see that. I had to drink so much fluid after my really traumatic miscarriage because I lost so much blood and I needed to replenish. So that was kind of like, I knew that. So that was something that I think the hospital said, if not, my husband's quite medical, so he had said, you must drink water. Must drink water. So that is one thing that I did do. But you need somebody to, you need to be treated almost like a child, in that somebody is providing that nurture to you as you grieve.
So you talk about like things like making sure you're eating healthy food, goulash, for example.
Bloody goulash.
Bloody goulash. Getting outside, all the kind of traditional stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Also, breathing properly and yoga and doing things that are kind to your body. Somebody, as I spoke to for the book, talks about practicing non-violence towards your body. Like I said earlier, it's really easy to blame your body and dislike your body and feel angry. Again, like, I understand it 100%, but it also isn't going to help you. It's going to do the opposite. So practicing non-violence towards your body, stretching it, learning, you know, to adapt to your body after loss. And the breathing thing is a big thing, actually, because it affects so much. It's such a simple thing. The hydration and the breathing are the two main things, really. The hydration is going to help you to heal and replenish, and then the breathing, like, in our society we are generally shallow breathers and it doesn't help us, and it also really adds to stress in your body. And I think there's a podcast called One More Thing, or Just Do One Thing, something like that, and in it they talk about taking an in breath for 4 and an out breath for 6, and that has, there's papers, I think, there's definitely professors that can attest to that lowering your stress levels. Yeah. So that is going to help you heal.
It's your peripatetic nervous system, I think.
There you go.
it's only because we both share an acupuncturist, and we've had her on the podcast before because she's just an absolute legend. And she's really into the 4-7-8. So you breathe in for 4, hold for 7, breathe out for 8. And like, as you say, there's like scientific evidence that it just soothes your body.
I love that. I'm such an impatient person. I can't hold my breath for 7 seconds waiting for the out breath. But I think the concept, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I had acupuncture and Reiki after my miscarriages, and womb massage as well, which was hard, actually. It was hard to let somebody in to that space.
Yeah, to let them touch you.
Yeah. I was very cut off from my stomach, my pelvis, as a lot of women going through loss are.
Well, Leanne, like, before you go, I just want you to tell us a bit more about the book. What's it called? When's it out? Where can we get it?
It's called Your Postnatal Body. It's out this summer. It will be in all good bookshops and Amazon. It's very exciting, and I hope it will help people.
I am so excited to read it. I think it sounds so important.
Thank you.
Okay, how are you feeling now, mate?
Still largely fine. Yeah, thankfully. Yeah, okay.
I swear, I've got like, I'm beginning to get sore throat, but I think I'm making it up. You know,
maybe,
when you're like,
yeah,
looking for symptoms. Again, another pregnancy, the pregnancy parallel.
My boob's sore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next week we're talking to our second racing driver.
Yes. Oh,
well, I guess last time it was racing driver's wife. This time it's actual driver.
Yes, actual racing driver, which I'm really excited about. His name is Toby Trice, and he's just a bit of a legend. I just loved chatting to him. He's so articulate and so lovely.
Yeah.
And he's got quite a wild story.
He has got a wild story. He's basically talking about how they basically cured his male factor infertility.
Yeah.
Which is not something, a word that we bandy around on this podcast. We're not like, infertility cure. But it turns out there can be one, apparently.
It's very, it's very interesting. Yeah. We absolutely love talking to him, and you guys will love listening to it.
Yeah, I have
no
so.
Doubt. I have no doubt.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, have a great week. Gabs, I hope you feel better.
Thanks, mate.
Or I hope you don't feel worse anyway.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that. All right, guys.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.